The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Grandstands he saw built as a kid growing up now rise for him, and for the first time in 93 years this fabled race is won by one of their own. Charles Leclerc wins the Monaco Grand Prix to achieve his dream.
With a masterclass in Monaco, Charles Leclerc fulfilled a lifelong ambition. But can he still achieve his ultimate dream of becoming world champion with Ferrari?
Yes, for sure. Otherwise, I wouldn't have signed again. Even if you don't have a title chance, to drive for Ferrari is an incredible honor. But to get the best out of me, I need to believe in the project I'm in. And I have the full trust that I'm in the right team to make Red Bull and McLaren struggle in the future.
Perhaps the biggest challenge of Leclerc's career so far will come from the other side of the Ferrari garage. From 2025, he'll try to beat seven-time world champion Lewis Hamilton in the same machinery.
Obviously, for me, it's going to be amazing because I'll have, in the same car as me, the most successful driver in F1 history. And that will be both extremely interesting for me to learn from one of the best ever, and a really big challenge and motivation to beat Lewis and to show what I'm capable of.
Hello and welcome to F1 Beyond the Grid with me, Tom Clarkson. Charles Leclerc started 2024 with real intent. 5 podiums from the opening 8 races, including that sensational home win in Monaco, suggested a title challenge could be on. Ferrari's form has tailed off since that triumph. They've fallen behind McLaren and Mercedes in the pursuit of defending champions Red Bull. So how does the Monegasque driver feel about the season so far, and what are his expectations for the rest of this year and beyond? Charles reminisces about that emotional first win in Monaco, telling me why the last 10 laps were like no other he's experienced before. He explains how Ferrari lost ground on their rivals after that victory, and why those struggles will benefit the team's long-term project. That project includes the eagerly anticipated arrival of Lewis Hamilton, who's replacing Carlos Sainz as Leclerc's teammate in 2025. I asked Charles what Lewis will bring to the team, and what he'll miss about Carlos. Plus, hear how Dachshund puppy Leo, the latest furry friend in the paddock, has changed Charles' life. I hope you enjoy our conversation.
Hello.
How are you? Good to see you again.
Very good. Very good. Feeling good.
Charles, before we get into the meat of this podcast, I wanted to start by reflecting on a couple of things you said when you were last on the show. Have you climbed a mountain with your brothers, Lorenzo and Arthur, yet? That was something you talked about.
Absolutely not, unfortunately. I wish I did, but the thing is that seasons are getting busier and busier. So if anything, it got worse since the last time we spoke. So I didn't have time to do that. But I'll have plenty of time after my Formula One career, which I hope will be the longest possible. But for now, I unfortunately don't find the time to actually train, because you obviously need to be doing some specific training for these kind of things. And yeah, just find the time to have 4 or 5 days for free and do something like that is quite tricky.
Right. That's got to wait. That's on the back burner. What about the flying? You were telling us that you'd started flying. Have you got your PPL yet, your private pilot's
license? Absolutely not. For the exact same reasons, unfortunately. So, I kept going after our talk, and I really loved every second of it. And I don't know if I had said that in the podcast last time we spoke, but it helped me getting some reassuring. It's not like I wasn't very at ease on flights in general. And I wanted to understand how everything was working and how many systems of recovery there was in case of a problem. And that reassured me massively. But then at one point, I knew that I was not going to fly on every races myself. And if you stop flying for 2-3 months, it's not like forgetting the can't park there sign on the road. If you forget something while you are in a flight, it's a bit more of an issue. So I was just like, I'll just enjoy. If I want to fly, I just take a lesson or two and I fly with an instructor there. And that's enough for me.
Now that you understand flying, are you a better sleeper on planes? Because you said you couldn't sleep on planes.
No. Okay. No, I'm not. I don't know why. I just don't.
Nervous flying.
Don't sleep on planes, yeah.
Well, look, one of the things we didn't talk about last time, because he wasn't on the scene.
I know where you are guessing.
Was dogs. It's Leo the Dachshund, is that right?
Exactly.
Now, look, how much joy has Leo given you and your girlfriend, Alexandra?
Oh, so much. So much. It really changed my life. I've always had pets growing up, but obviously I was still a kid, so it's not like I didn't have the full responsibility of the dog, and it always were my parents that had it, even though I was trying to take care of him or her. But I decided to do that step with Alex. I've always loved dogs in general. Absolutely love it. I mean, it's the best thing in the world. I live for 5 minutes and he's the happiest to see me again. And I don't know, it's just a really, really good
feeling. What's the funniest thing he does?
Oh, I mean, there's something quite funny. I tried to to train him to be clean, but obviously he's still a puppy. He's like 6 months old or something like this. So it's quite tricky at the beginning. So we both pet pee pads.
Pads?
Yeah, like pads you put on the floor for him to pee on it.
Ah, okay.
All right. And so at first he was peeing basically everywhere in the house. And every time I was like, no, Leo. And I was taking him and putting him on the pee pad to make him understand that's where you need to pee. And now he still pees everywhere in the house. But once he's finished, he goes on the pee pad and he sits down on the pee pad and looks at me like, you see, I learned from
I'm
you.
A good boy.
But so that's quite funny because, always, and then it's very difficult to get angry because he looks at you with the eyes like, see, I'm a good boy and I do what you told me, but he didn't get the point yet.
And the great thing is that you can split dog walking duties with Lewis next year, who's got Roscoe.
Exactly. I mean, in Silverstone, we had both of our motorhomes close to each other. And we bumped into each other, both walking our dogs. So they already met. And for next year, that'll be nice.
Well, look, we'll come on to next year later. But let's now talk about 2024. We're at the halfway stage. What is your overriding feeling as to how things have gone so far?
The overriding feeling is always the last feeling you have in a season. And at the moment, we are not in a good time. And we are struggling a lot more than the way the season started. I think during this first half of the season, we've had two parts. The first part, which was very, very positive, as much as we still knew we had some steps forward to do in terms of performance, I think we were maximizing our potential every weekend at the beginning of the season. That was really a positive. Unfortunately, since we brought the upgrade on our car in Barcelona, we faced some unexpected issues, which pushed us to actually be a bit more experimental on the setup side to try and fix those issues. And when you do that, you have a bit less of consistency throughout the weekend. You lose a little bit of your path, which is what happened. You learn a huge amount, which is also what happened, and that will be beneficial for the rest of the season. However, you lose quite a lot of points along the way, so that wasn't ideal. Now we are just in the end of this process, and in Budapest, we managed to maximize the potential of the car again, which was a good thing, but there's still performance that is lacking to our car, and we are working on that.
from the outside looking in, this has got 2022 vibes all over it, where, remember 22, you started really strongly, and then actually at Barcelona, it started to tail off again, didn't it?
I don't think so. I think it's very close to the situation we found ourselves in Zandvoort and Monza last year in 23, where we sacrificed a little bit of the maximization of the weekend in Zandvoort and Monza to understand and to do a big step forward after that. I mean, that's what we have gone through. Unfortunately, instead of being two races, it was four races, which is longer than what I had wished. But it's been super beneficial for the whole team to understand exactly the issue that we were facing. In 2022, I think it was a bit less clear. And I don't think we got out of this phase knowing exactly where we had to work on. So that's the worst you can have, no? When you don't maximize a result, but you get out of this difficult time and it's not like the you have very clear ideas. 23 and 24 was very different in that matter. And I think it will help us a lot for the future.
Right. So are you confident for the second half of the year then?
The only thing that changes compared to 23 is that we had a very quick fix in 23 to the issues we understood. We understood the issues. I really believe that we have a fix. However, it's probably not short term, but not long term either. I cannot go too much into details though.
I mean, sure. Is it a Ferrari thing or is it this specification of car thing that it seems to me Red Bull are the only ones who have been consistent with these regulations. Everyone else at the front has had strong races and weak races. And where we went from the amazing weekend you had in Monaco to Canada 2 weeks later, why is it so difficult to tame these cars?
We cannot take that as an excuse. However, it's definitely a fact that apart from Red Bull, I really feel like it's everybody in the paddock that is struggling to find that consistency. And whenever you bring upgrade performance upgrades, you always discover new things that you didn't expect, that you didn't see on simulations. And that's not only us, but it's everywhere in the paddock. But as you said, Red Bull managed to make it right since now the beginning of those new regulations. So it cannot be an excuse and we need to be the best inside the paddock, and we are aware of it. So we are just focusing on ourselves and try to become the best team out there.
Do you find moments like this difficult? Because you're long overdue a consistent run of success. How do you stop frustration creeping in?
By focusing on the present. I think whenever, if you start to have expectations or focusing on the wrong things, frustration can arrive. To say that I'm happy in a situation like that would be to lie. I'm not happy, but being frustrated is not the word. I mean, I'm very, very motivated to try and turn the situation around. Unfortunately, it's been a bit too long that we have been saying that as a team, and we need to do that now. But yeah, it's not to think about that will help us. It's just to think about what are the issues at the moment and what we can do in our power now to get better in the future. But that's the only thing we can focus on.
How long do you dwell on a bad weekend? I mean, they always say, don't you? You learn more from losing than winning.
You do, but you learn as well on winning, especially again with those generation of cars, because when things are going right, like in Monaco, and everything just works out, you also need to understand why it went so well on a weekend like this. So you learn in both ways, but for sure there's been quite a lot of unexpected things that we did not expect in the last few upgrades that we brought, and we also learned from that.
Look, while we're talking about learning and mentality, I'm reminded of a speech that Roger Federer gave earlier this year at Dartmouth in the USA, in which he talked about, you know, we're talking about a guy who had a lot of success, 20 Grand Slam victories, yet he only won 54% of the points he played. And the point he was making to these students was that a point is only a point and you have to move on and focus on the next point. And is that your approach to races, good or bad? You have to focus on the next point?
This for sure. I think as an athlete, but also as a team overall, I think there's something in sport in general is that you are as good as your last performance. And so you cannot rely on how good of a momentum there's around you or how bad of a momentum there's around you. I think the best thing you can do as an athlete is just to focus on yourself and to be as emotionally flat as possible, to just be very analytic whenever you do something good or bad and move on, whether it's good or bad again. And that's what I try to do as an athlete.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild. Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Grandstands he saw built as a kid growing up now rise for him, and for the first time in 93 years this fabled race is won by one of their own. Charles Leclerc wins the Monaco Grand Prix to achieve his dream.
Please tell me that you weren't emotionally flat after winning Monaco.
Oh no. I mean, you let the emotions out for sure.
Yes! 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 Yes!
But then you wake up on a Monday morning and that's the first thing you tell yourself is just, oh, that was one incredible race and a moment I will forever remember and probably one of the highlights of my career once I'll retire one day. But I cannot just think about it for too long. Now it's up to focus, focusing to the next race already. And things are going quick. And whenever you win a race, you can be sure that there are the other 19 drivers that are focusing extremely hard to try and beat you at the next one. And that's how it goes. So you cannot rely on the past good race.
No, look, I get that. But when I talk to you about Monaco now, how vividly do the memories come back? Can you almost remember all 77 laps of that Grand Prix?
As sad as it sounds, not really.
Probably
the last 10 laps.
Okay.
I don't really remember my quali lap. the last 10 laps because, as I said, it was probably the first time in my career where the emotion took the upper hand, and you never want that whenever you are behind a steering wheel in a Formula One car in Monaco. But 10 laps to go, I really felt that I was really emotional and that I had flashbacks of my whole career and important moments of my career. But I also knew that that was the last thing I wanted at that time, and I quickly recovered from it mentally. I think it lasted probably half a lap and I was like, come on, Charles, stop thinking about this and just
get it to the end. Do you have those conversations with yourself in the car?
Yeah, you realize, because something that I've learned also along my career is to be super self-critical and self-analytical.
Do you think you can be too harsh on yourself though sometimes?
No, I'm very harsh on myself, but that's the way it works for me. As I said earlier, the most important thing is not to dwell too long on mistakes and to move on. But I'm very harsh with myself whenever I do a mistake, whenever I do something wrong. And I like to analyze why wasn't I on my 100%. But this is always something, a process that I go through. And as soon as I have the answer, it's important to move on.
But do you think you drove on another level at Monaco? You were untouchable all weekend from the moment you went out for FP1.
Yeah, I was driving very well, and that's for sure. And I was really happy with my overall performance. This no doubt. On another level, I don't know what would that mean. On my best level, for sure. But there's been other weekends where I've been driving just as good, but then the result, unfortunately, is not there just because the car performance is not where you want it to be for the weekend. So it's definitely a weekend where everything clicked and the performance of the car was great. My performance was really, really good all weekend. And when things combine, then it's very difficult to beat us. But we need to have both package at 100% more often.
David Coulthard on this podcast said that his second victory at Monaco in 2002, he knew when he opened his curtains in the morning that he was going to win that Grand Prix. And that was from second on the grid. Did you have that level of confidence on race day?
I'm always confident on race day. Even when I'm starting P11 in Canada and I know that we've been slow all weekend and I wake up in the morning and I just feel like it's the day. And I think that's the way to go into a Formula One car, especially nowadays with the downforce that there is and those Formula One cars, you need to have 200% confidence whenever you get into the car. So I always have that level of confidence. Then sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. And that's part of the game.
And the party at the palace afterwards, are you allowed to disclose what goes on there? Or
it wasn't at the palace, it was like the gala.
Okay.
And then we did go party. And it was fun. I mean, it was a really nice moment.
Can we talk teammates? You've been with Carlos now for 4 years. What will you miss about him?
I think just Carlos the person. I think we get on very, very well. Unfortunately, with the world as it is now, everything is overanalyzed, overcriticized. But the reality of things is that we always had a really good relationship. And yes, there's been many moments where inside the helmet, I hated him and he hated me because we didn't view the situation in the same way. But everything was fixed after a discussion between us two. And as I said, we get on very, very well. We share many interests and we had a lot of memorable moments that I'll remember forever.
Is that rare among teammates to be able to talk about an incident after a race? It seems to me that a lot of people just leave the track and
it can happen.
Fester.
I feel like I've been lucky in my career, at least in Formula One, that I always ended up with drivers that were really open to the discussion and that I was also could separate what was happening on track and then the off-track relationship that was really important as well. And that was always the case with my teammates. So on that, I've been very happy, whether it was with Marcus, with Seb, or with Carlos now.
Have you ever had a bad relationship with a teammate in any formula?
I don't think so. But I think that's also part of my character. I get on with everybody. I don't have problems with anybody.
Well, Charles, I'm reminded of the video that George sent around to everybody after the driver's press conference in Monaco.
Exactly.
You were on a stick, a broom or something, and looking like Harry Potter.
I don't know how you call that, but I was trying to.
Yeah, thanks for that, George.
I wish he didn't show that picture, but I mean, I've always had.
But that's all in good fun and
exactly.
Good
I mean, yeah. With George, Alex also was my teammate. Nick De Vries, I really don't have any bad examples of a teammate and I. Then there definitely was tense moments on track because I've had very strong teammates and sometimes it's very close on track. And as I said, it's just normal. He's the only person on track with which you have exactly the same car. So the competition is super high, but it's always been very healthy rivalry. And that was good.
Charles, I think that's a huge compliment to you. And of course, great for Ferrari, because let's throw it forward now. New teammate in 2025, Hamilton, of course, coming to Ferrari. What kind of an impact do you think he'll have on the team?
I mean, obviously extremely positive. I think when a champion like Lewis get to any team, it brings a lot of motivation out of every single person out of the team. So that will be obviously the first really positive effect it will have on Ferrari. And obviously he will come also along with all the experience that he's had over the years with Mercedes, a different way of working, a different vision. And this is always benefiting a team. And And then other than that, obviously for me, it's going to be amazing because I'll have in the same car as me, the most successful driver in F1 history. And that will be both extremely interesting for me to learn from one of the best ever, and as well as a really big challenge and motivation to beat Lewis and to show what I'm capable of.
Charles, if you beat Lewis, what will that say about you?
I don't know. And to be honest, I don't even think about that yet. I just try and focus on myself, try to be the best version of me once he gets here. Because, I mean, I obviously try to be the best version of me every time I'm on track. But with Lewis joining the team, he will definitely be a benchmark. So it will be very important for me to be on my top level. And then we'll see how it goes. I'll give my best. He will give his best. And then we'll see. And I can tell you after that, if I make it, how does that feel?
How well do you know him?
Everything is relative. But inside the paddock, it's definitely one of the drivers in which recently, especially, we have spoken the most out of our passions, especially music and fashion. So it was good to exchange about this subject, especially. But then outside the track, it's not like we have been spending so much time together yet. But that obviously will happen once he joins the team. With all the extra duty we have outside the track, we'll get to know each other even more.
Have you discussed the duet yet?
I told him, but we have very different genre, so it's going to be difficult to do a mix of my music and his music, but why not? Maybe one day. I don't know. I think it will be very difficult to mix our music.
You know that Lewis likes ice cream.
He does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good thing.
Hey,
I've got a good news for him.
How are sales of Lek, your ice cream?
Amazing. I mean, a lot. Not that I expected it to go bad, but a lot better than what I initially thought, which is a great thing. I mean, I was searching for a fun project, and this was ticking all the boxes. And ice cream has always been a product that I've absolutely loved. I was really searching for something that I could eat a bit more often without feeling guilty of not following my diet. And then I met the right persons, especially Federico Grom and Guido Martinetti, who had a really big and successful ice cream company in the past. And it was very important also for me to find the right people in order to watch and to work on these projects on a daily basis. Because me, my first priority is to become the best Formula One driver possible on track. And 99% of my time is dedicated to that goal. However, having the right person on this project, knowing that they respect my vision of the project and that I have the product that I have always wanted, makes me happy.
So, like, what is special about your ice cream? Is it healthy ice cream? Is that why you say you can eat it without feeling guilty?
It's reduced in calorie by quite a bit. But obviously, the main important point was for it to be good and reduced in calorie. And that's what we achieved.
Is it good enough for Nico Rosberg yet? Is he selling it in his shop in Ibiza?
Oh, that's true.
It's not good enough for Nico yet.
Well, I'm sure it's good enough for Nico, but he probably didn't try it yet. So that's why he doesn't have it in his shop.
The Jeff Wyler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Wyler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong. The Jeff Wyler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Wyler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Now, look, let's bring it back on track. The remainder of this season, I want to throw a quote at you that Fernando Alonso served up recently, where he said, the rest of this season is all about making 2025 good for his team. Is that where you're at? Would you sacrifice the remainder of 2024 if 2025 can be a concerted championship challenge?
With a question like this, I will say yes. However, you never have, it doesn't work like this. In Formula One, you cannot say, oh, I'm going to stop working on 24 and 25. I am sure 100% that I'll have a car to challenge for the world title. So we cannot think like that. And as a team, we are still trying to maximize this season. We still believe in the highest targets as a team. It's still a long way to go. The momentum is not with us at the moment, but we are, as I've said, we've learned a massive amount with the experiencing we have done for 3 or 4 races. And that gives me the optimism that short term we are going to find the steps that we need in order to come back to our level. So I think for now where we are focused is to try and lose the least possible points to McLaren, to Red Bull as a team in the next 3, 4, 5 races. I cannot say exactly when. And I don't know because the team is pushing like crazy to always bring everything as early as possible. And then once we'll have that, hopefully we'll see that this will be enough to take some points again from Red Bull and McLaren.
Can I put something to you as well that Fred Vasseur said on this podcast when he was on, which is he was trying to change the culture inside Ferrari, was one of the things he said. You've been here 6 years. How different is the culture now to when you first arrived in 2019?
It's quite a lot different. It's also to be said that Ferrari is such a huge team with so much history that it's not the easiest of tasks to do something like this. I think there are some core values of Ferrari that will never change. And I think it also never has to change because these are the value of passion, by example, is something that you will only find in Ferrari, in the paddock, or to that extent, only in Ferrari. And it's something that is absolutely incredible. At the same time, it can bite in some difficult moments because passion also means emotion. And sometimes when it goes very bad, it can affect more the people inside the team than in any other teams. But that will also bring the people to give 200% in order to do everything to get out of difficult moments for the team. So it has a good side, but it also has a bad side. I think Fred has changed quite a few things, which made a really big difference. It's first to try and understand most of the people within the team and every single individual within the team to try and understand their situation and to put them in the best possible conditions in order to extract the maximum out of each individual. And that is super, super, that is definitely one of the biggest strengths of Fred. And also the other thing is that I feel like he's always acting a bit like a balance in the team, which is needed in a team like Ferrari for the exact same reason as what I was saying, which is the mark of Ferrari, which is a passion. And as I said, whenever you are having a really good race with Ferrari, everybody feels so good, so happy. And Fred is always the balance of saying, yeah, it's great, but now let's recenter a little bit because it's only one race and we've got many other races. And exactly the same in bad moments when everybody feels down. Fred is always there to give us the positive in a difficult situation to remotivate everybody. And he's very emotionally flat. And that is a really good thing for a team like Ferrari.
Everything you've just described, I remember at Monaco, he didn't get too high. And then at Canada, the next race, he didn't get too low. It's exactly what you were saying. Sounds like a great leader.
Exactly. That's what was needed in Ferrari. And that's what is needed in Ferrari. So I'm completely confident and have full trust in what Fred does.
And full confidence that you can win the world championship with Ferrari.
Yes. Yes, for sure. Otherwise, I wouldn't have signed again. I mean, it's even if you don't have a title chance, to drive for Ferrari is an incredible honor. But to get the best out of me, I need to believe in the project I'm in. And I have the full trust that I'm in the right team to make Red Bull and McLaren struggle in the future.
That's a great place to end it. Charles, if I could just do our quick fire questions. It's the traditional way that we end the show. What else are you good at?
Not much. Not really.
I don't believe that.
I promise you. I mean, you can test me. Go bring me skiing, bring me at football, basket. I am useless. I'm only good at driving. No, skiing, I'm acceptable now because I've taken quite a few lessons. Paddle, I think I'm good, but I'm not. No,
Do you cook?
Oh, no. No. And you don't want to try that.
All right, let's try this one. Which racing person, dead or alive, would you like to be stuck in a lift with?
It depends for how long. If it's for like 4 or 5 days, probably Kimi.
why Kimi? For
because
four
I
days?
Love Kimi. He's so fun, but at one point he will just stay quiet and so I can sleep. If I want to speak a bit more and have fun, will be Carlos or Pierre. But Carlos or Pierre will be a mess. Like after a day, I will just want to sleep. And with them, it will be very difficult because they are messy.
What, just leaving stuff everywhere?
No. And just like speaking and okay. Yeah.
Because of course, Pierre is the driver you've known the longest on the grid, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah. So yeah.
Like first race together?
Yeah. We were going in holidays together when we were 8 or 9 with our parents and both of our families, and it was really fun. So we have, a special bond apart from the racing one.
Taylor Swift concerts as well.
Well, that wasn't planned at all.
He said that as well. I find that completely mad that you didn't. You bumped into each other.
I don't know. I think Kika was definitely for something for Pierre to get there. And me personally, I've always liked Taylor Swift songs, but my Alex is a huge fan of Taylor Swift. Like it's not that she doesn't like everybody because that sounds wrong, but she doesn't have someone she look up to, but she definitely looks up to Taylor and she loves Taylor. So she really wanted to go there. So I was like, okay, I'm going to, I come with you because I also like her songs. And then we got there and I saw Pierre with Kika. So it was fun.
And the concert is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's so impressive. I mean, she's not only an artist, but she's really a showwoman.
I've got an idea. Duet, Taylor on vocals.
And me on the piano.
And Lewis on?
The drums.
Wow. Okay. Let's make this happen. Look, next one. Who would play you in a film? I think it's fairly... Who would play you in a film?
Why were you saying it's fairly obvious? What did you say that?
But I was thinking Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe is what I was thinking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but...
Is that not... Okay, sorry.
I was not going to say... I mean, he's an incredible actor.
You look less like him now than you did.
A little bit less.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll say probably... Some people tell me I look like Timothée Chalamet a little bit. But I don't know. I don't personally see it, but he's a great actor, so I'll go for him.
Who is the coolest person in your address book, in your contacts? Sorry. I'm showing my age saying the word address, words address book.
My mum. Nice. And then...
my brothers.
My brothers. No, I mean... probably the Prince of Monaco.
Yeah, that's cool. He was very emotional after your win, wasn't he?
Yes, amazing. And I had never seen that him that emotional. So it was made me emotional as well.
Mm. Look, last one. If you had a podcast like this, who would be your first guest?
You, of course. But apart from you, but apart from you,
doesn't have to be racing. It could be anyone.
I've always said, I've had that question, not for a podcast, but for a dinner. Who would I take for dinner? And I probably Elon Musk. Just, he's so... I feel like he's the kind of guy that had an idea at once that feels completely surreal, but still went and made it happen. And I have a lot of respect for Elon for that. I am the kind of guy that is super creative and that has a lot of ideas. But to go that far in some of the ideas he's had is hugely impressive. So, Elon.
Nothing is impossible is the message when you think of him, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Does he like ice cream? Is he going to invest in Lek?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know Elon at all. So, yeah. I mean, if he wants to, I'm sure we can we can speak.
Charles, it's been brilliant to catch up with you again. Thank you for your time. Best of luck with everything in the future.
Thank you very much.
All right. See you soon. Thank you.
Yes, Charles is an ideas man, but he's also a great interview. I really enjoyed speaking to him again, and I learned a lot about many things, especially his attitude. He's a nice guy, but there's a steely determination behind the smile. It'll be fascinating to see how he stacks up against Lewis Hamilton next year. Let's hope the Ferrari is a good car and can challenge Red Bull, McLaren, and Mercedes. Charles, thanks for your time, and see you soon. As ever, please let me know what you thought of my chat with Charles through all the usual means. I'm at TomClarksonF1, or you can use the hashtag F1BeyondTheGrid. And that brings me on to what you sent in about my chat with Bruno Famin at the start of the F1 summer break. It was Bruno's last interview as Alpine team principal, and many of you joined the dots, remembering that Otmar Szafnauer's last interview as team principal of Alpine was also with me. I thought Moldy summed up a lot of your thoughts with this. Another great podcast and guest in Bruno Famin. I'm not sure if many of us would be able to converse so eloquently after the week he'd had. Surely F1 team principal is the next white-knuckle position in the team after the drivers. Well, thanks for getting in touch, Moldy, and I agree, I think it is. And we should probably take this moment to wish Ollie Oakes all the best as he takes over the team principal role at Alpine. Well, that's pretty much it for this episode. I will, of course, be back next week with more from the world of Formula One. Don't forget that F1 Nation's preview of the Dutch Grand Prix is out now. I'm joined by Dutch journalist Erik van Haren to discuss all things Max Verstappen and Zandvoort. Thanks very much for listening. F1 Beyond the Grid is produced by Formula One and Audioboom Studios. Until next time, keep it flat out.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.